welcome to this Tuesday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, today we get to talk to Danny Kofke. And Danny has written a very interesting book called How to Survive and Perhaps Thrive on a Teacher's Salary. And as you've looked at any of the economic information, one of the three places that they say is almost recession-proof is in the education world. There's healthcare, government, and in the education areas are the three places that you can be assured, almost assured, of a job going forward. Even so, salaries are small, and so we'll be excited to talk to Danny and find out how he and his wife have done that. But before we get there, let's talk about how we can prosper in a declining economy.
Well, I look forward to having Danny in the studio and getting to hear his story and to provide the exciting information of his life story to our listeners. But Dave, you know, many people are wondering what can they do right now. And on our Help, Hope, and Insight feature at crown.org, we've posted an article called How to Prosper in a Declining Economy. And it gives some very practical steps. One is to pay your bills faithfully. Don't get behind on your payments. Set a good example and stay ahead, because when you fall behind, the penalty and interest just starts to accrue. Secondly, prioritize your debt so that you can get out of debt as quickly as possible. I think there's a sense of urgency to do that, and I hope our listeners are using this time right now to really reprioritize to get out of debt. Also, if you're behind, negotiate with your creditors. Seek a meeting with them in person. Humble yourself before your creditors and ask them what they can do to help you during this difficult time, especially if you're to lose your job. They want to work with people right now. Also, downsize. Do everything you can to get better cash flow. Also, pay extra on anything that you can in order to accelerate the payoff dates, especially your mortgage. Try to get ahead there. And then look for ways to make extra income. If you need to have a garage sale, sell things on the web, learn to barter. That's something that you've been very fond of.
Sure.
Those are the kind of things that are going to help you capitalize on what you do have. If you don't have a money map, that's a great step to follow each destination on the Crown Money Map. I would recommend that our listeners pick up one of those. And then some very simple things. Cut the cable, get rid of all the surplus entertainment, learn to live a frugal, contented lifestyle, and you can prosper in any economy.
Well, that, again, is up on the crown.org Help, Hope, and Insight feature there on the homepage. Well, in just a moment, we'll introduce you to our special guest, author and teacher Danny Kofke. You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is Danny Kofke. Danny is currently a special education teacher. He's taught preschool, kindergarten, first grade, and second grade, and he has a passion for teaching others. Danny, you wrote a great book called How to Survive on a Teacher's Salary. Welcome to Money Life.
Thanks for having me, Chuck. Glad to be here.
Well, what drove you to write this great little book?
Well, actually, a few years ago when I wrote it, I mean, it was geared towards teachers. But nowadays, you know, with the current economic situation, I definitely think it could, you know, gear towards anyone. But the main reason I wrote it was, according to a 2006 study done by the National Education Association, 50% of teachers leave the profession within 5 years because of poor working conditions and low salaries. Yet, according to the 2006 General Social Survey, teaching ranks among the top 10 most gratifying jobs, with 69% of teachers reporting they were very satisfied with their jobs. So I just wanted others to see, you know, and, you know, definitely it was geared towards teachers, but even someone else, and say maybe a firefighter, a clergy person, whoever, that, you know, money doesn't always mean everything. And, you know, it's important. We need to have a roof over our head. We need to, you know, have clothes on. But, you know, if you love what you're doing and you feel passionate about getting up in the morning, that's priceless.
Well, Danny, that is priceless, and it's inspiring as well to be able to live within your means and to do what God called you to do. So how is it possible to live very comfortable on a single income on a teacher's salary?
I mean, the main thing for us was long-term planning. My wife, Tracy, was a school teacher and now is a stay-at-home mom to my two young daughters who are 1 and 4. And, you know, being both of us being school teachers, obviously we didn't make that much money even when both of us were working. So we had to have long-term goals. The day we got married, we had a future plan that we wanted her to be able to stay home. And any decisions that we made were based on that future plan. So it was just that. We had a vision and, you know, we followed that.
Did your parents help you to understand some of these things, Danny?
Absolutely. Growing up, we had a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house, had 1 car for a while. We didn't have, you know, a lot of materialistic things, but there was always love. My mom stayed home with us until I was like 5th, 6th grade. So I know when I came home from school, she was there waiting for me. And I think back over time now, and if you ask me any Christmas present I got, I remember one in particular. It was a bike. It was a special Christmas, you know, wonderful. But that's it. But if you ask me where we were on a Friday night, my family and I, we would go to the park, eat pizza, just enjoy time together, and I still remember that. So, you know, that held with me to realize, you know what, the stuff that we buy, we're probably not going to, my kids aren't going to remember that, but it's the time that we spend with them that they're going to remember.
So this was set really at an early age, to think frugally, to have a long-term plan.
Yes.
Did you have some goals when you were young that you really wanted to accomplish that you started thinking about as a boy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, actually, it was, you know, pretty cool. One of my goals was to write a book. Never, you know, didn't think it was going to be nonfiction, but, you know, here we are. So, you know, I have written a book. Of course, like every boy, want to be a baseball player, you know, that didn't turn out. But, you know, just a lot of things. There's still things, you know, I want to do. Like, one of my goals is to run a marathon one day. So, you know, just little things that started up as in my childhood that, yes, I do want to do.
Well, when it comes to money, Danny, how important has it been to you to have a goal?
If you don't have a goal to me or a vision, then it's hard to work towards something. So to us, that was very important. And both of us on the same page. You know, if a lot of spouses, you know, if you talk to them, you have one that might be a spender, one that might be a saver. One's going one way, one the other. That's tough. That's very difficult. So I also think, you know, have goals and sit down and talk about goals with your spouse, your significant other, because you got to be going in the same direction in order to achieve them, or, you know, it makes it a lot easier to do so.
Well, you've obviously had to work very hard for the things that you and your wife have had. Anything that you've acquired came through careful planning. Has that affected the way that you felt about the possessions that God's given you?
Oh, absolutely. And I, you know, I draw an example in my book. When I was 14 years old, the motivation at that time was for a car. I was fortunate enough that my parents said they would match the amount that I earned towards the purchase of a car. Well, I was in Florida at that time. All summer long, I delivered and set up appliances, 14 years old in the hot summer sun, while my friends were probably at the beach, you know, having fun. But I earned $2,000. My parents matched it, got a $4,000 car. And I can tell you, I valued that car more than my friends valued theirs, who, you know, they were given cars. And it just, I knew how much sweat and hard work went into it. And that was a wonderful lesson for me to learn.
Well, Danny, I know that this Lord has had a big impact in your life, and you have allowed Scripture to influence the way you handle money. Do you have some favorite Scripture?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one, Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. I mean, it just, it's very apparent. You know, if you're in debt, you're in servant to that person. And that, you know, has, you know, led me to live as much of a debt-free life as possible. Another one, Proverbs 21:20, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. Well, there you go. You're not planning for the future. This, you know, is what I take from it. You're just going to get rid of everything you have. You don't save for that rainy day. That's why so many of us are in trouble nowadays. We've been told by our grandparents, my generation especially, I'm 33, have never really had a major financial hardship. it as a, you know, whole society for my generation. Well, you know what? Our rainy day is here now. So if you're prepared, it's okay. But if you're not, I think a lot of people are seeing that now. And then one more, Proverbs 13:11, dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Dollar cost averaging. Every single month, you set some money aside. Good growth stock mutual fund. Over time, you're going to, you know, do well. Many people that play the lottery, try to get it foolishly, gamble. Usually they're not the wealthy people.
Oh, absolutely. You know, your thinking reminds me of a book that I read years ago. It wasn't based on scripture, but The Wealthy Barber, mm-hmm. you know, that you can do whatever you want to do in life and still have a surplus, still have resources. And certainly your life has lived that out. Mm-hmm. And it hadn't been boring for you. You haven't you've had experiences that other people maybe haven't had. You've had a chance to even teach abroad. Tell mm-hmm. us about how that came about.
Yeah, my wife and I, when we first got married, it was a fast courtship, met in August, engaged in December, married in June. We were living in Poland by the year anniversary of when we had met. But we taught at an American international school in Krakow, Poland, did that for 2 years, and it was the most amazing experience. First off, it was great for us to be in a foreign country our first 2 years of marriage. We only had each other to rely on. So that was so wonderful that, you know, any arguments, differences, we worked it out amongst each other. And another great thing, I mean, we visited 10 countries. It was just like a dream. We honeymooned in Venice, went in a gondola on our honeymoon. So it was just a really, really neat experience. And we were able to save money and come home, and that led us, you know, to have some financial freedom when we moved home.
So, Danny, you were able to save money and to enjoy this wonderful time in Europe for 2 years. Mm-hmm. How much were you able to save?
A little over $20,000.
And that was in 2 years?
That was in 2 years.
How did you do that, Danny? I mean, how did you pull that off while not going wild seeing all of Europe?
Okay, actually, we still did get to see all of Europe, and we were able to save it, so it was kind of interesting. We had our cake and kind of ate it, too, but the way we did it is we paid ourselves first. We had a 2-year contract. We knew in 2 years we were probably going to be heading home. Divided, we said we wanted to come home with about $20,000 in the bank. So did 24 into 20,000, came up with 800 and some odd dollars. Every single month before we saw the money, before we had a chance to spend it, automatically deducted out of our paycheck into a savings account. And then after 2 years, there it is.
Wow. I love automatic savings accounts. And Danny, when we come back, I want to talk about some very specific tips on budgeting and some things in your book that will help our listeners. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today's guest is Danny Kofke. He's written a great book, How to Survive on a Teacher's Salary. And Danny, in this section, I want to talk about some specific tips in your book mm-hmm. that our listeners can use to fulfill the purposes that God's called them to. It may not be a teacher, but he's calling them to do something that may not pay a lot, and they still feel called to do that. So let's talk about some specifics. You compare budgeting to dieting. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, what a lot of people, when they go to set about a budget, you know, they just, or to save money, they think that, you know, they come up with this huge figure and they're saying, you know, I want to save, you know, $12,000 by the end of the year. Well, you know, if you do that, think about a diet. Say if in a year you want to lose 40 pounds. And after week two, if you've only lost 3 pounds, you might be a little discouraged. You might, you know, because you're thinking, oh, I still got all this far way to go. So what I mean is just break it down into little smaller steps. Have minor goals leading up to that major goal. For instance, my wife and I, you know, draw this in. She joined Weight Watchers last year, last October. She's lost now, I think, 37 pounds. She didn't set out to say, ooh, you know, in a month I'm going to lose 37 pounds. It was, you know, this week I want to lose 1 pound. This week I'm hoping to lose 2. And then those tiny figures add up over time. And I think the same thing with budgeting, paying off credit card debt. You pay off, you know, as much as added to the interest as possible as you can on the principal. You add as much as possible. And, you know, over time, it'll pay off. It's that snowball effect.
And Danny, you've always operated by the principle, pay yourself first. And that's been an automatic deduction. Is that right?
Absolutely. We still do it. You know, I talked about when we lived overseas to come home to, you know, put a down payment on the house, pay for a car. We do it now with our dollar cost averaging investing. It comes out of my our debit account or checking account automatically, pulled money out, invested in the mutual funds. So.
Well, a lot of people have gotten into trouble today because they started to view their home equity as their piggy bank, and they were drawing on this home equity to support a lifestyle they couldn't afford. But your story is different. You did it a totally different way. Tell us how you did that.
Well, we just bought, I mean, what we could afford. And, you know, I mentioned before, our goal was to have Tracy stay at home. So when we moved back from Poland, instead of buying a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, we ended up buying a 2-bedroom house. And it was, at that time, it was, you know, very cheap for us, able to afford it, but I was looking long term. And, you know, it enabled us to be in the position we are. And a lot of people, you know, they take as much money out of their house as possible. Even last year, the interest rate started dropping. When we first moved to Georgia a couple years ago, we were at a 6.75 interest rate. Well, they dropped to 5.5%. It was like March of last year. Well, I refinanced it, and, you know, of course, they're like, well, you have this much equity, you can tap this much. I said, no, you know what I'm going to do? I don't even want a 30-year mortgage. I want a 20-year mortgage. So I refinanced it and dropped it down to a 20-year mortgage. I'm only paying like $10 more a month, and I'm saving 10 years off the life of the mortgage.
And you're working to pay it off, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my goal is to pay it off in, you know, 10 years, hopefully. So, you know, just... it's just such a nice feeling when you don't owe anyone anything.
So you and Tracy and the two girls are in a 2-bedroom home.
Not now. Now we're in a 3-bedroom home. In Florida, we were a 2-bedroom home. Okay. When we moved up here, we did a 3-bedroom house.
But you're doing quite well without living beyond your means.
Absolutely.
Now, you and Tracy have figured out some creative ways to cut expenses and to be able to have that margin to save mm-hmm. money. What are some of the ways you've cut expenses?
I mean, one of the ways that, you know, we first did, when we moved home from the States, we had one car for 3 years. And there are times I rode my bike to work, but I knew I didn't want a car payment when Tracy was home. So we put as much money on the car that we had, and it was paid off in 2 years. It was a brand new car, paid off in 2 years.
Now, what did people say at work when you were driving to school?
They thought I was whacked. I mean, I had people make fun of me, but you know what? Now I look at it, some of those people that made fun of me, their wives had babies and they wanted to stay home and they aren't able to. Mm. So to me, and I think that has gotten so many people into trouble is keeping up with the Joneses and looking at this impression. And, you know, it's not important. What's important to me right now is that, you know, I get to leave and go to a job I love. And who else would I want to raise my two girls but my wife?
Yeah, that's great, Danny. Now, I know that you have a passion to reach young people who are thinking about a career in education, uh-huh. who are thinking about following their heart. You recently got a letter from someone who had read your book. Share a little bit from that letter, because I know it inspired you and it'll inspire our listeners to help other young people to follow their heart.
Okay, yeah. This particular girl, she just said she's a science education major at the University of GA. She is nervous about becoming a teacher, and I'll just read from her letter, and I have debated changing my major several times, but the calling is there. I know this is the right profession for me. Every time I see my father, he attempts to convince me to be a doctor or a lawyer. I've tried to tell him that if you are smart about your money, you can survive on a teacher's salary, but I was still so scared inside. So she got my book, and she read it, and then she just wrote and said that she is in awe of my story and would appreciate any advice I can offer, and she hopes to do as well as I have. And she hopes to use my book to become more knowledgeable in the future, and that I've made an impact on her life and helped her get into teaching. And that, you know, that to me is the reason. I mean, I mentioned before the reason I wrote the book, but getting that letter, you know, I sat there and it was, you know, through email, and, you know, I just had tears in my eyes because it was wonderful. I'm like, this is what I want. I want, you know, people that have a calling, whether it be teaching, whether it be clergymen, firefighters, whatever. But if you want to do something in life, I don't want finances to hold you back from doing that.
Well, Danny, you're only 33, mm-hmm. but you've been thinking this way since you were a young man. You were actually taught to think this way. Mm-hmm. How important do you think it is that young people start out with this kind of paradigm, with this kind of view about money?
I think it's extremely important. And, you know, as a school teacher, I'm in, you know, the school every day, and there isn't enough done to teach our even elementary age children enough about finances. And, you know, I know that per se as a teacher, I don't think it's necessarily my job to teach that. But look, the savings rate in America is at a -%. So obviously, you know, the parents aren't doing the job. So we want a generation that understands finances. So I think it's so important that we get as many financial, you know, matters into children's hands so they can learn about that.
Well, tell our listeners how they can get your book, Danny.
It's available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and in the publishing company, TatePublishing.com. That's T as in Tom, A, T as in Tom, E, Publishing.com. You can just even Google, type in how to survive and perhaps thrive on a teacher's salary, or Danny Kofke, DannyKofke, and it comes up.
And then cover a couple of these bullet points on what's inside your book.
Okay. Inside my book, I will show you how to retire with a sizable nest egg, teach in a foreign country, which we talked about, own all of your possessions, including your cars and house, invest in Roth IRAs and 403Bs or 401Ks if, you know, that's what your company offers, establish a weekly budget, and live a financially secure life on a teacher's salary.
Danny, it has been inspiring to have you on the program. Come back and see us again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Chuck.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And Chuck, it was great to hear Danny today and hear the passion that he has for his profession and the passion that he has to help others to get their financial house in order. And in these last few moments, you know, you're a dad with an unusual setup with your kids. You've got two young boys and you've got two grown boys. And as a parent, how are you and Ann working to work with both sets of your boys to infuse those biblical principles of financial stewardship?
Well, you know, Dave, we've had several young people on Money Life, and they're always inspiring. This one reminded me a little bit of the Johnny Wingfield interview, where Johnny mowed yards and paid his way through college, bought some rent houses, sure, had a lot of money in the bank when he graduated, and it was a real high-income type story. And on the other side of the spectrum, here's Danny, who is not a high-income earner, but he pursued his heart's desire, his life purpose, what he thought God had made him to do. Mm. And it's so actually touching to me to see a guy like Danny, who now works with special needs children, who set out to be intentional to be able to do that and to not let money get in his way. And we've always said that God's plan was that we are all able to make money. We should manage it wisely and use it to fulfill his purposes for our life. And Danny was Exhibit A. I was inspired by Danny, and I listened to some of the things that he learned in his life, and it's exactly what we're trying to teach our children. We started out years ago with our boys who are now grown, and now we've got two more coming up through the pipeline, and we're trying to teach them the same lessons. A key lesson in managing money is self-control. And I loved Danny's stories. His parents taught him that. His parents didn't buy him a lot of things. So when he got one bicycle, did you catch that? One bicycle, it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And he had to wait and save to even buy a car. And he said other people were out playing, but he was out working in order to provide the amount that his parents were going to match. Secondly, he learned contentment. His car was a $4,000 used car. Sounds like he loved it. He wasn't waiting for some big fancy car. He just wanted something to drive. And then he learned delayed gratification. He's able to wait. He has a long-term perspective. And those are the kind of lessons that all children need to know. Those are the lessons we've tried to teach our children. I've seen both of our boys live out some of these very same characteristics. Similar to Danny, they've pursued exactly what they believe God's made them to do, and they've not let money stop them. And that's where money can become an accelerator to your joy and satisfaction in life, because you don't let it prevent you from doing what God's called you to do. I was very inspired today, and I hope others will catch on to teach their children those same lessons.
Well, if you'd like to hear this program again, you can go to crown.org and just click right on that radio button there and you can hear the program in its entirety. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.